Say you've had a tough week. The waters are rising faster than you can keep up. It could be work that's overwhelming, or a bad diagnosis, a family crisis, or just life in our news cycle that makes you feel like you're reaching flood stage. How can our readings for today help? At first, it seems like we're sinking in a sea of abstraction. Wisdom, hope, truth, these can sound to our ears more like political slogans than places to stand. With stories, we can sometimes find a foothold, a place for imagination to take root. Here, though, we have to work harder to make connections with life on the ground, or at least I do. Don't get me wrong, it is fascinating to think about a feminine presence at the dawn of creation, as we're given here in Proverbs, to have wisdom as a she on Trinity Sunday amidst all those he's and hims. To sense the fullness of what it might mean to be created in the image of God. But that's reaching pretty far back to find some cause for hope. What about the present? What's here and now? Well, Paul speaks in the present tense in our reading from Romans, but in such a seemingly easy way about the productivity of suffering, it's hard to know what he's talking about. And then Jesus, in John's gospel anyway, I love him, but he can bury the lead so thoroughly. We can barely glimpse the spirit amidst all of this swirling repetition. What can we actually hold on to here? What might help us to stay afloat? Let's start with wisdom. My Jewish study Bible defines it as knowledge translated into action. That means wisdom is less about mastering floods of information. No, it's more about riding the waves so they don't drown or paralyze us. To take the water image a little further, wisdom is kind of like the river guide in a raft, the one who knows the flow well enough to keep us in it, who can tell us when we need to rest and when it really is time to paddle hard. Wisdom is what helps us to set direction and then move together to get there. But it's not all about knowing the terrain in advance. Wisdom also helps us to prepare for new situations that we've neither predicted nor really prepared for. We can't measure it by our ability to write a paper or take a test. And yes, I know, here in DC, also known as Hollywood for nerds, that is a tough pill to swallow. But wisdom isn't about intellectual feats of strength. No, it has more to do with what we learn from our elders, from our own experience, and how that comes out in the works of our hands, and the ways we treat each other, and our capacity to respond with calm and grace when anger and judgment are just so much easier. So where do we find our wisdom, that is? According to our first reading, wisdom calls out to us. She raises her voice not just on the heights, but at the crossroads. In other words, wisdom isn't just found on mountaintops or monasteries or mission trips, for that matter. She lives here, where we do. And we're told that her cry is to all that live. Wisdom is not the property of any one nation or religion or century. It doesn't reside within the walls of the church alone. It doesn't live within Scripture alone. Wisdom speaks in our Monday to Saturday world, sometimes in the voices of people who've never even heard church talk. Wisdom may have been with our Creator back in the beginning, but she certainly didn't stay there. Wisdom is available to us here and now. For once, the issue is not access. It's not that wisdom isn't speaking. It's just that so many other voices are speaking too, more loudly, and apparently more persuasively. So, where does our reading from Romans fit into all this with all of its specialized God talk? Is there any way that wisdom grounded in our experience can actually lead to hope? Paul's reflections here don't replace the insights given in Proverbs so much as they just come from a different stream. Wisdom is not the exclusive property of the church or the Bible, but it doesn't mean that we can't learn some valuable things there. In Paul's view, the experience of the risen Christ in our lives changes everything. The flow of the river will never be the same, and so we need new words to articulate that. Our God-given wisdom is deepened, in his view, when we let ourselves be part of both streams of tradition, when we let the words and the images, the rituals and the practices flow over us and become ours. With time, we might just begin to make more sense of Paul's words. Of course, we know that suffering is not always a means to some discernible end. Suffering does not automatically produce endurance, much less character or hope. But we do have a better shot at all of the above when we're surrounded by others who are willing to share their experience of Jesus' love and just stay with us. Over time, as we practice this Christ-shaped life in community, as we give and receive grace, and as we find that new life that only emerges after death, all of these things gradually give some shape to our hope. And they ground it in something far more powerful than wishful thinking or optimism. It's this Christ-shaped hope that helps us to know who to hold on to when there is no place to stand, and when all we can do is go with the flow. It might be nice if we had an instruction manual for what would Jesus do in every possible situation. If we could craft a Christ-shaped life in 9 easy steps, but that's not what we're given. We have a limited set of stories, a few key sermons, the example of his life. We don't see him get married or have kids. We never see him struggle with a long illness or grow old. We don't know exactly what he would do in our circumstances. It's part of why we have the Holy Spirit with us now, or what Jesus in today's gospel calls the Spirit of Truth. We're told that the Spirit will guide us into all the truth. And I, for one, find that deeply reassuring. Why? Because it means that for all of the wisdom available to us, we simply don't have all the truth now. We can't base every decision based on today's horizon. That means that there is reason for hope beyond what we can see. It also means that there are things that we won't be able to predict or prepare for, and that is not necessarily a failure on our part. It also means that we're not left to navigate the waters of life on our own. We have a guide, someone who knows the flow, who can help us find our way when the path we thought we were on suddenly closes, who can show us our choices when there is no one right way to go, who can talk us through those moments when we find ourselves out of the raft altogether. I'm not an expert on whitewater rafting by any means, but I do know that when we find ourselves out of the raft and in the water, the last thing we should do is force ourselves to stand. There might not be a place to stand for quite a while. Sometimes the best option is to stop thrashing. Let ourselves float until we're either hauled back in or someone who sees more than we do can point to a resting place. In the silence that follows, I invite you to think about the waters you find yourself in today. What might it look like to go with the flow? Let yourself be led for once. Might that somehow be the spirit of wisdom The spirit of Jesus, the spirit of truth trying to speak. In the name of the one who knows where we're going, even when we don't, and who can be trusted to guide us there.